Orient are, Christ. Amen. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, oh, star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. You know, as I was thinking today about this day of Epiphany, this day when we celebrate Epiphany, there are really two ways to tell the events of the visit of the Magi. One, like I just did a little while ago, it's shaped for the minds and the hearts and the eyes and the ears of children. Another way that we can tell this is to adults. And truth be told, we're probably better prepared, you and I, to deliver and to appreciate the message to the kids rather than to the adults, at least at first. Why is that? Well, most likely it's because that's the story that we're used to hearing. That's the one we grew up with. Picture it again, if you will. Three kings, right? Magi, soothsayers, on camel's backs traveling from afar to bring lavish and expensive gifts to the newborn King Jesus. Now, we love this version because of the wonder that's there, the magic that's there, magi, magic. Especially as we remember that these magi are led from the east by a star that prophetically and powerfully fills the desert skies. This version testifies justifiably that the message of a Savior has global implications. It has this cosmic reach. It also testifies that Jesus is for everybody. Jesus is for everybody. See, you may be male or female. You may be slave or free, black or white. You may come from the east side or the west side, right? You may come from Anderson or Turpin High School, right? You may be Skyline or Gold Star, right? You may be UC or Xavier, UK or Louisville. Folks, it doesn't matter. For in his eyes, he's the Savior of all of us. These events testify that even though the wise men travel quite a distance, and I mean it's a long way they come, Jesus still comes farther. And his cradle is the first of a necessary set of steps that will lead him to a cross of wood and a slab, a cold stone of a tomb, made warm once again by the enduring truth of his forgiveness and the reality of his resurrection. And you know, these events that we just talked about, they show how committed God is to us. How committed he is to getting this message into the whole world, into all of time. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Now, we love these events. And we need to hear these events again and again and again because of the awe and mystery, because of the gifts given and the Savior they're given to. In fact, you probably know this, this is why we give gifts at all at this time of year. And this is why wonderful songs like We Three Kings of Orient Are, and I don't know if you knew this or not, but spin-offs like The Little Drummer Boy, this is why they show up. Because these songs teach us that we all have gifts to give to Jesus, no matter who we are. So we need to hear the children's take on the wise men because it rightly leads us to ponder not just what they gave, but what we can give in worship of this King. What time, what talent, what treasure, what testimony might we yield in likewise way to the Messiah who gives and gave so much? Still, you know, after pondering all that sometime and savoring that view, I need you to understand that there's another side to Epiphany. There's another side to Epiphany. See, Epiphany is a bit like driving down Route 32, and this is my area of the world, Route 32 as you head out of Newtown toward Eastgate. Route 32, out of Newtown toward Eastgate. On one side of the road, there are these really nice homes and secluded subdivisions, and yes, a well-manicured golf course. On the other side of the road is what? A garbage dump. Now, yes, admittedly, it's hidden well, by the growth of honeysuckle and trees and the like, but if you just scratch below the surface, right there's a dump. In a similar way, like 32, on one side of Epiphany are the gifts and the wonder, right? Those things that we love, the awe, the magic, the worship that we're all about, while on the other side are things that we care less for. But they're only hidden below the surface. And these are things like fear and indifference and hostility. Have you ever noticed this? Fear. See, there is undeniably this element of fear introduced by Jesus' birth. And I know this because in Matthew 2:3, if you have that reading in front of you, Matthew 2:3, Matthew says that Herod was troubled in his spirit and all of Jerusalem with him. Now, the word for troubled in Greek shows up in Luke 1:12 to describe Zechariah's newfound condition when he finds out that his longtime barren wife, Elizabeth, is about to have a child. He is troubled in spirit. Then it appears again in John 13:21 to describe Jesus' condition right before he drops the bombshell on his 12 closest people that there is going to be a betrayal. And the word means to be churned at what this now means. Or another way of saying it is to be moved at what life's going to look like on the other side of this thing that's just happened. What will life look like now? And folks, that's being troubled. That's being Herod. That's being all of Jerusalem along with him. And you know what? That's the smell of fear. But there is also indifference. Where? Well, in the Jewish scholars, of course. For remember, when the Magi are stupid enough, and they are, they're stupid enough to bumble into the current king's courtroom and go, "Hey, where's the new king that's born, right?" These scholars knew right away the place where he was to be born. They knew right away the prophecies that pointed to him, how this king is going to punch a hole in their current existence. And so what did they do when they said this? Well, they did nothing. Nothing that I can see. I mean, they give this textbook answer and then they recede into the background. They remind me of Ben Stein's history lecture on Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And if you know that reference, you're dating yourself, sorry. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Their answers are clearly right. But man, they are giving with a drooling-induced boredom. Do you know what that's called, class? Anyone? Anyone? That's called indifference. Finally, there's hostility. Hostility. Magi show up, scholars answer, Jerusalem is churned, fears are brought to the surface, and plans are made. The current king needs to kill this so-called king before he grows out of diapers and the whole situation grows beyond repair. So Herod fakes this concern. He does it really well in Matthew 2:8, right? He goes, "Hey, go and find the child, and then I'll come and worship with you." Right? No. His intent is clear. This is a shadowy outline of hostility. And you know, that just makes me think, how are we going to receive Jesus? See, the very presence of the Magi signal that the Messiah must be here and that the world is changing. Their presence signals that the world is wide, but his graceful embrace is even wider. It signals that the definition of insiders and outsiders is changing based on faith. That good news is here, that God keeps his promises, that faithfulness defines his mission, fidelity to his word should define ours. It means light shines in the darkness, that hope is real. But please don't miss, this also means fear and indifference and hostility are very powerful motivators. And folks, they won't go away quietly. For these move Herod and the Jewish officials to cut down young children and to conspire to do everything they can to kill this child of promise and everybody connected to him. I mean, this is political intrigue, this is deception, violence, and ambivalence rolled into one. But you know, all that shouldn't surprise us too much. For folks, that is our world. It's a world racked by storms. It's a world where people walk into elementary schools and into nursing homes and start shooting people. It's a place where every day scads of people all around the world die from incredible, preventable reasons. And so this is a much scarier and much grittier view of the world than we're used to Epiphany kind of giving us. But we have to see this side. This isn't a fairy tale. It's not a Pollyanna view of life. No, this says that Epiphany is real, as is the world into which God comes. We need to see the side because this is the world that God enters into. He showed up to save people that are mastered by their fears. He came to save people so over-entertained and so over-scheduled that they are often numbed to indifference. He came to save people so entrenched in their lives or so ignorant to this news that they are quickly moved to hostility because anything that's imposed upon them, don't impose this upon me. These are the people he came to save. And we need to remind ourselves of this side of life because this is the world that Jesus came into. This makes sense. Jesus is God in our midst. He's Emmanuel. He's living, breathing, walking, sleeping, touching, weeping, perfect, and yet suffering God, who came to die and rise again to loose the bonds of sin, Satan, and death, to saturate us with such grace that we cannot help but produce fruit in keeping with repentance in a life in line with his design. Denise Levertov actually wonderfully says it in her poem, on the mystery of the incarnation, she says, "It's when we face that moment, the worst our kind can do, and shudder to know the taint in our own selves, that awe cracks the mind's shell and enters the heart." See, this is why we must understand that it's into our world, into this world, that the incarnate Son of God comes to seek and to save, to renew and restore. He's worthy of every gift that we can gather, every hour of worship we can muster. The light of the world has come. The light of the world is here. Kings, lay down your treasure. Shepherds, tell your story. Mary, magnify this child, because Herod's going to do his worst. Beggars will call out his name, and bleeding women will reach for his cloak. Centurions will show great faith in his hometown. They're going to threaten to kill him. Demons will be exorcised and prostitutes made new. Tax collectors, they'll actually pay money back. And the diseased will be made whole. Blind men will demonstrate faithful sight. The mute will sing his praise. 5,000 will suddenly follow and then leave. A woman by a well will be changed. After 3 years, Jerusalem will yell its loudest. Judas will betray the first of creation, and Peter will deny to his last. The disciples will run, the centurions will whip, Pilate will flounder, the Jewish officials will say it was a victory. The fellow prisoner will mock, and blood will flow, and thorns will pierce, and nails will wound, and a cry of "It is finished" will tear this incredible curtain, and darkness will envelop. Spears will dig deep and death will seem to win. But then 3 days later, a stone will roll away and resurrection will be verified. 500 will see him. Disciples will cower and ask for proof until resurrection is verified. And then a spirit is given and a church is caught on fire, and that church will tell and go and share and disciple and change the world. It will change the world. And don't you see, this is why grace is so wondrously frightening. Yeah, grace is wondrously frightening. Really? Yes. Because the gospel is powerful enough to change whole cities. I mean, just ask Nineveh or Rome. The gospel threatens the tyranny of unjust rulers. Just sit down with Nebuchadnezzar or take another look at apartheid-infested South Africa. But perhaps we ought to most be moved because we're sitting here today because somebody shared the gospel with us. God's incredible gift given to sin-sick souls has changed our lives. So who might you share this gift with? This gift of wonder and praise and awe. This gift that removes fear and indifference and hostility. Who might you share this gift with? See, God is here. God is at work. God is worthy of our worship. He's the Word made flesh. Nothing is supposed to be the same. How wondrously frightening. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia sounds through the earth and skies. Can we sing this together? Let's sing this together. Ready? Oh, star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Blessed Epiphany. In Jesus' name. Amen.